On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's live and it is local right here with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Before we get started with our next guest, we have a traffic report real quick. Brought to you by Ahern Rentals, Hardware and Supply, Carson Valley's favorite hardware store. Protect your Second Amendment valuables and more in a Liberty Safe. The perfect size Liberty Safe is waiting for you at Ahern Rentals, Hardware and Supply. Now, as far as traffic goes, taking a look here, NHP currently not reporting any issues out there. Highways or surface streets within listening range, 99.1 or 92.3. So, John, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you.
I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs, and in the studio with us, we have Christine Johnson, the executive director of one of the most fun places to go to. I've been going to it since, I probably predate the History Museum. The Sparks Heritage Museum. I'm so glad to have you here.
There's artifacts from John's childhood in there.
Okay, I am so happy you're here. The Sparks Heritage Museum right there on Victorian. How many do not touch signs do you have up out there?
Actually, we do have a few. I mean, do not touch is a great thing to think about when you enter a museum. First, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Well, yeah. And I mean, any opportunity to share the information that I have about the museum with our community is a great opportunity. So thanks for letting me be here.
It's a treasure. Do you still have the antique telephone switchboard?
We do. Yeah, we do. See, you know your museum.
Keith Richards' daughter used to work on that. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
That's like the one in Bodie, kind of. It really is. The switchboard. It's like the
but
one
theirs is better, Jay.
Yeah, because you can actually touch it.
I got to say that if you're new to this town, you got to see what Sparks used to be like. I mean,
absolutely.
The huge rotating train.
Yeah, the roundhouse.
The roundhouse, mm-hmm. Which, of course, it's the Rail City.
Yep.
But what an amazing structure we had in Sparks.
Absolutely.
Where you would pull into the circle, the train, and the circle, a huge circle, would turn around, mm-hmm. And take
was
it
like
it
a roundabout
direction. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So am I wrong? Didn't Sparks used to be where Wadsworth is?
No.
Or,
actually, Wadsworth is still where Wadsworth is. Actually, that's how the town began, is when the rail line switched. And so they decided to move the actual line, and there was a big decision to be made. And so we have some really beautiful photographs of the day that the people left out of Wadsworth, headed west towards Reno. But they stopped in what is today Sparks, and that's where the railroad line was.
The Rail City thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it started. And people actually packed up their homes, their physical homes, flattened them, put them on a flatbed rail line and rail car, and went westward. And there's some of the homes are still in Sparks.
I was just going to say, I used to live in a little area called Conductor Flats.
Mm-hmm.
Which is right over there, I guess you could say, between like Rock and 21st Street.
Yeah.
on the east side of
yeah.
the rails.
Yeah.
And I had a small little house, what are they, like Robux houses,
yeah.
whatever they're called?
Catalog. Yeah,
yeah,
you could buy them in the catalog.
The Sears catalog.
Yeah, you would never believe my house was where it was. It was one of those places where when pizza was free, if they didn't deliver within 30 minutes or less, it was like, yes, let's go. Anyways.
For longtime locals, museums awful lot stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
What's new at the Sparks Heritage Museum since I was there 5 years ago?
Well, what's great about this particular museum is the idea that it's a museum that exists in a historic building in the first place. So this building is right there on the corner of Victorian and Pyramid, and it's on the National Historic Register, and it was the original library, the Sparks branch of the Washoe County Library System. It was built in 1931 designed by Frederick de Longchamp, who's a renowned Northern Nevada and Western architect. And downstairs was the Justice Court, upstairs was the library, and all these years later, we have just reopened what is still this moment, as I speak to you, Nevada's newest library inside that building. And so it's a nice nod back to the function that the library or the building had in the first place.
Library's what, on second floor?
No, actually it was in 1930, January 1st, 1932 is when that library opened. And The building continued operating that way, then different shifts over time. And by 1985 is when the building became a museum. And so it had, you know, quite a run of service for the city. And then in 1985, in partnership with the city, the museum was organized to exist within that building and the building next door, which is 820 Victorian. And that's where the giant Last Chance Joe statue is
you
mounted.
You saved him.
We did. Our amazing board of directors and a lot of contributions from concerned citizens and
that's
history
the little
advocates.
The little minor guy from the Nugget?
We won't call him little. We'll call him he's a big giant.
He's huge, but the Nugget didn't want to really kind of use it anymore.
Yeah,
they want to contemporize their
image.
Yeah,
he had been kind of in
you found a place for him.
Yes, he's mounted right to the front of our building. And that's actually a thing we say is, you know, I've come into situations where people will say, oh, I didn't know Sparks had a museum, or I say, do you know where the museum is? And people say no, and I give them the address they don't know, and then I say, do you know where Last Chance Joe is? And everybody says yes, and then you know where our museum
is. You know what's so interesting is that he's not the only landmark that's close there too that's from another portion of town. That Volkswagen Bug that's like a spider is right on.
Yeah,
it's like a block away on the other side of the 7-Eleven, and that was up on top of that roof forever on the Wells Overpass.
Yeah, and the Glendale Schoolhouse is right down the street from us too, and a very important historic structure as well.
You still, as part of the museum, you still have the rail car across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we work in partnership with the city on that. That is actually it's a 3-car train. It's a static exhibit.
And you open it up.
Yeah, every Saturday we have an amazing volunteer, Mr. Dick Dreiling. He's a board member with us, actually, and he's been a volunteer at our museum since 1999. And he just won the Governor's Silver Award for the Points of Light Award for Lifetime Achievement at our museum. And he every Saturday, he still is dressed as a conductor, and he'll take the community through. It's free. One wonderful partnership that we have with the city that allows us to provide access to these, both the schoolhouse and the train.
So they don't even... Light, right?
It points of light award, yeah.
That's an old George Bush thing, right?
Yeah, it was. Okay. And so the governors all have awards for this, and our governor awarded 3 awards this year, and our own Dick Dreiling won the lifetime achievement at the second place level.
So for the train, they don't have to pay the museum admission fee.
No.
It's the train is open today.
Yep. Weather permitting, we
from
say.
When to when?
1 to 4 is our standard, but also we've organized special requests, things like that. And
Are they booths in there or just seats? I mean, like, can you sit down?
Each car is different, that's part of the tour. Is he explains what each car was, and they're beautifully restored.
Almost seems like you guys would do some sort of like luncheons or something like that.
Well, that's where artifact ethics comes into play. We don't want to compromise it too much, but. We work to maintain all the artifacts that are inside. It's situated in a way and was restored in a way that kind of transports you back in time. The curtains, the cushions, the bedrooms, all of that is just in place as it was.
Right.
So a couple of years ago, you opened up the second floor. You rent that out. Is that what that's being used for group meetings?
The second floor was the original library, and it has been completely restored. It's an open space. We quite often now use it for art exhibits. It's a beautiful place, and we currently have the Sierra Watercolor Society upstairs with a beautiful show that runs through the end of this month. So free.
So that's one of the things that's new.
Yeah, brand new.
At the museum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But we also offer it for public rental. So we've had weddings there. We've had public, you know, different meetings. The public can use it for different organizational, you know, needs, things like this. So
have you run into trouble with what's happened at a couple of other museums where people object to certain parts of history and things are questionable in some people's minds to put on display?
You know, I wouldn't say we've run into it with any kind of public comment, but it's a thing that I think all museums are working towards upgrading and updating exhibits in a way that's more inclusive in general.
Yes.
And so one of the exhibits that we are working on currently, kind of along that theme you just mentioned, is renovating our Native American exhibit. And we got a beautiful grant from the Nevada Humanities that allows us to work in partnership with the Reno Sparks Indian Colony. And we should have, by the end of this year,
What's going to be in that exhibit?
It's going to be in a very small case, because it's a very small museum, but it's basically a history of our Native people, told from the Native American perspective. It's their story to tell, and we're in the progress right now of kind of deciding what pieces are going to go in, and we aren't making those decisions, the Reno Sparks Indian Colony is. And we're really excited to see what comes of it and have a brand new story to present to our public.
Excellent. So what's coming up at the museum? What are you planning?
Well, we recently opened a couple new exhibits. One is on the history of the Sparks Police Department, and the other one is on the history of the Lincoln Highway. So those are two brand new exhibits, and they're in our...
How do you fit all that in that little space?
Creative use of space. Go up. We build up the walls. But yeah, we have those two new exhibits and some other exciting things that we'll be renovating. But we just, like I said, we opened our library. The library was upstairs, but now it's in the downstairs lower gallery, and it is available to the public. Our admission in general to the building is $5 for adults. Children 12 and under are free, and seniors are $4. And that's for any component that anybody uses. So if they come to our library or our galleries, the basic admission is $5. And the library part is great because it allows our collections to be more front-facing. So you have access to our historic photo collection. We have Ancestry.com and Newspapers.com for people to look at. It's going to be great.
Christine Johnson of Sparks Heritage Museum. The museum didn't open till 1985.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Give us a brief history of it.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we do a quick break, and then we'll come back. Yeah, just because we got to do a break, but we are going to come right back. And if you want to talk to her, of course, Christine Johnson is here. She is Executive Director of the Sparks Heritage Museum, 775-884-9910. We're going to be right back on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
92.3 is FM Talk.
There is a house in New Orleans.
don't sing, John. It's Live and Local right here. John and Jay, Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3, 99.1 FM Talk, even up at Lake Tahoe on 99.1. You can find us. So, John?
Christine Johnson, Executive Director of Sparks Heritage Museum, on for one more short segment. We were just talking about some of the people who see this museum for the first time. What some stories about that? What are people shocked about or amused about or surprised about at the Sparks Heritage Museum?
Most part, some of the feedback we get is first that people don't realize Sparks has a museum, and it's the only museum in Sparks. And the mission of the museum is to focus on the history and the heritage of the city and the roots and railroading, right? But we have so many great stories, and technically yesterday is history, right? So we want to try and capture some of the more modern history as well. So we have information in there, everything from the very beginning of the city all the way up to, you know, yesterday's history we're collecting for our library. But we have Governor John Sparks's dining room table on display, and people don't realize. I've actually had people say, like, well, you know how Sparks got its name, right? It's because the railroads, you know, the wheels on the lines created Sparks. And I'm like, no.
I thought it was because Reno was so close to hell you could see Sparks.
Oh. I've heard that. But no, it was actually named for Governor John Sparks, and we were super excited.
Actually, I've never heard that
yeah.
People that Sparks.
Oh, the Sparks
from
on the yeah. Oh, I've no. gotten that several times. I'm
somebody
like,
says
no.
it and it just catches
yeah,
it on,
does.
Doesn't
that
it?
Happens. But yeah, so we were thrilled to have his dining room table on display, and kind of I think when visitors come here, they don't really understand the history of Sparks being separate and independent from Reno. And at the time Sparks started in 1904, it was very far away from Reno. So there's a completely unique history, and then and like I think maybe this new exhibit on the history of the Sparks Police Department is really exciting as well. And it's kind of interactive. Kids can push buttons and make the light bars go that we have installed there. We have some of the original artifacts from the 1941 jail, including the jail cell panels that the police chief gifted to the museum. And kids can stand behind it and get their picture taken in jail. And
I love it when
fun stuff.
Places save those things. Oh, you know, in Ely, there, I don't know if you heard of the Jailhouse Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
But it's in, apparently, the old jail, and your table is in a cell.
What?
Yes, in Ely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't save it, it'd be nowhere.
Well, so. and at the time, these things are tools, but then they become, you know, unique or made out of certain materials that aren't used anymore or whatever. So we have some beautiful, and that exhibit was brought to us in partnership with the Sparks Police Department, and they were fabulous bringing that to us.
What's the hit exhibit there? I mean, what is the one thing besides the antique switchboard that fascinates people probably the most?
Well, I think right now it is the police exhibit, but
and
we
what's
have
in the police exhibit some stories. Or?
Yeah, so at the beginning we have the history of the very first police chief all the way up to the current police chief. And here's the thing that I think is so rich is that Sparks is still that kind of historic family roots kind of feel, and versus I think what Reno is growing so vast, you know, so fast. A lot of people still knew these police chiefs or related, and there's still so many generations of police officers that their fathers were part of the police department.
Were we like Mayberry?
Not in the way you're smiling right now. But in that hometown family feel, I would say yes. And they're a wonderful group of guys, and they worked really hard. And we even have information on the animals that serve in the police force. So people don't think of that, the dogs and the horses.
What, canine skeletons? Or?
No. We have their uniforms, though. We have a dog mannequin with the bulletproof vest, and we have a horseshoe on display from one of the Clydesdales, and it's huge.
Sold.
And so, yeah, it's really cool to see. And plus, we have rotating exhibits, like I said, and we're going to be having our second annual Christmas craft events coming up on December 10th and 11th.
Oh, those are always fun.
Yeah, and a lot of really wonderful arts and crafts, and also now authors being featured at the museum from 10 to 4 on December 10th and 11th.
Oh, that should be interesting. Now, I do have a question for you, Christine. So with all the new, because you were talking about building up there's a lot of building up going on in downtown Sparks right now with the Deco and all those other places in front of the theater. Let me ask you, just since the museum's inception and with all these new places going up right next to it, are you seeing a bigger influx of people coming in now?
Well, yeah, new people are finding us. The city of Sparks has grown by almost 20,000 since the last census. So a lot of new people that don't know the history of the area, plus a lot of, and again, post-COVID, we're seeing now, well, if we can say post-COVID, but now that the communities are more open, we have people traveling again. So we have people coming over from the Nugget or conferences and things like that. We're finding new people to the area coming in to learn about where they've moved to. So it's kind of great.
What a change that area. I mean, in the 70s when I was here, that was B Street, and it was dark.
Yeah,
it was like massage parlors and things like that. And now
it's a destination place.
Yeah, it's super cool.
It is.
Really is, and clean. You know, Jay and I were talking about comparing Reno to Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
The streets are spotless down there.
Yeah.
All the way
does
Victorian
a fabulous,
to McCarran.
Fabulous job at supporting its community.
You're not being
absolutely
accosted
amazing.
By a homeless person every 50 feet or two. I mean, downtown Reno and Sparks is night and day, I got to say right now.
Yeah.
It really, truly is. So anyways, all right. Well, Christine, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And again, if anybody wants to stop by the museum, we need volunteers. We need support. We are completely independent. So we rely 100% on donations, memberships, and admissions. We have a wonderful relationship with the city who helps support us as well. Mm-hmm. But we're doing what we're doing because of the support of the community. So join us.
What's a website people can go to find out about?
Sparksmuseum.org. And you can find us Tuesday through Saturday. 10 to 4 in the museum. And then, again, our website is sparksmuseum.org, or you can call us at 775-355-1144.
And in about 90 minutes, Dick Drayling, is going to open up the train car.
That's right. That's right.
Does he wear a train outfit?
He does. He's the conductor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so you can find
and that's
him downtown.
Absolutely free.
Yep.
To go
is.
Through the train it cars is. At Victorian Square.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, make sure you go and check that out, folks. And stick around here because we have got more to talk about on Live and Local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It is live and it is local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Our number 775-884-9910. Also, we are on Facebook. Go and find Live and Local with John and Jay. We would love to hear from you. But
John Potter and Jay yes. Biggs, the break room. 3 jars of peanut butter and they're all creamy. What the heck? Hate creamy.
One skip.
Nobody likes crunchy here.
I just don't belong here.
Also, the microwave blows me away. This microwave you can set for 3 minutes and 99 seconds. I've never seen that before. That doesn't even make sense.
I can't say that I've ever seen. Now you got me wanting to experiment and play around with the
microwave.
You can
actually set it for 9,999 seconds.
But 90 seconds is a minute and a half.
Yeah.
I've never seen a microwave where you could set it over 59. We'll forget it.
Anyway, all right. Well,
we'll figure this out later.
Let's move on to better things, more precise things. How about that? We are joined in the studio this morning by the very lovely Shelby Nguyen, who works for Precise Printing and Wraps here in Reno. Shelby, thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. It's kind
Douglas
of...
Douglas girl.
Yeah. She's from Douglas County originally, but now living up here in Reno. Kind of an interesting story. We can talk about this, I guess. So I do
Let
Uber.
Me guess, Uber. Oh, another Uber story.
Yes.
Well, hold on. Now, this is our first ever, am I wrong? This is our first guest for my Ubering.
Well, you meet an awful lot of interesting people with Uber. That's where all our guests come from, the backseat of Jay's Uber.
No, don't listen. Actually, this is the first time I've had somebody. But I have met a lot of cool, interesting, that's one of the things I love about Uber, right? Like, it's like, I get to drive people and talk, and it's like I told you in the car, I think I talk for free anyways all day. I might as well get paid.
Right. Well, so, you never know who you're going to meet. You're going to have a really weird right. Uber driver who you're really excited to get out of the car.
We should do the show from the backseat of your Uber.
We could. Man, we get a lot of guests every hour, that's for sure. Anyways. All right, let's talk about what we got you in here to talk about, Shelby. Your company is involved with the Reno Toy Run coming up this year, obviously.
Yes.
And so for the holidays, it's a big partnership. I think it's huge to help out kids that are less fortunate here in the community. But I want you to tell the community and everybody out there about Precise Printing and Wraps, exactly what kind of services you guys offer. I mean, are you relatively new to the area?
No, Precise Printing's been around for a while. Dylan originally bought the business back in the end of 2019. Okay. And at the beginning of this year, he decided that he wanted to focus more on wrapping cars. Okay. So we've transitioned out of printing and more just into large vinyl format. So that includes anything from, you know, large signage for your windows to commercial vehicles like box trucks, trailers, or just a color change on your car. It's pretty much anything and everything that you can wrap, and we'll do it.
I think, you know, it's interesting because I've worked in industry like with the window tinting industry, and we've done stuff with wrap places before. But I can say that, like, wrapping your car can actually be a better method of changing your color than going down and getting it painted, for sure. If you want to get it, if you want to get your car wrapped, or even just for protection, I'm sure you guys do clear coating, like, or some sort of.
Yep. We also do paint protection film and PPF. Ceramic coating. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are huge things. And so, like, let's think about this. If you're a business owner out there and you're driving around from place to place all the time, people see your car, they might not know about your business. Well, if they see your car, they might as well know about your business. So, like, for instance, with our radio station vans, people know where the radio stations are. Why? Well, because the van sitting out front that has the huge radio station logo
on it
and stuff. You can help people with this. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a small portion of your vehicle, the whole vehicle.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, you can pretty much wrap whatever, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And we have a graphic designer, too, that we use. So if you bring us your branding and you need help putting your vision together, we can do that. Put it on approve, get it printed, and, you know, help you grow your business that way.
Now, do you guys still do any printing at all, or is it just moved completely, most of the wraps?
It's just moved completely to wraps. Like, the only thing that we actually print is, like, custom wraps
there
at
you
this
go.
Point.
Well, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And DJ Quick told us about that a long time ago.
Facts.
Right.
So you're hosting a toy run, huh?
We're not hosting. We're just involved. So the Reno Toy Run has been, you know, happening since the 1980s. It's all of the local motorcycle clubs. And, you know, just anybody who wants to be involved. They're still looking for sponsors, which is great. On the ArenaToyRun.com website, you can download the sponsor.
It's a very big thing.
Very big thing.
It taking place?
December 4th this year. Okay. Yeah.
So, all right. So December 4th. And what are you guys exactly doing to be involved in? Do you have like a bin there that people can bring things to?
Yeah, we do have a bin. We also have some tickets that we're selling. They're $25. That includes the run, a t-shirt, and the dinner.
I didn't know that. Wait, good deal. Yeah, $25
yeah.
bucks?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you almost can't eat out for that much, let alone get a t-shirt.
Right. So we have those, the bin, and then we personally are going to be donating like 2% of our proceeds to the toy run, just for an extra something. And, you know, it's nice because they, you know, specifically give to Northern Nevada charities and to our local kids.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of the time around the holidays, that's not really the focus. So it is nice to be giving back directly to our community.
And somebody like you who's lived here all your life, you know about the families that would happily receive these gifts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So tell me this, though, because, you know, is there a website people can go to that can like check out some of your guys' work or some of your designs or any of that?
Yeah. So actually, we have our socials. Most of our stuff is on Instagram.
Okay.
It's Precise Printing NV.
Okay.
Look us up there.
On Insta.
Right. Yep. Same with Facebook.
Nice. Precise Printing NV. Okay. So has everything started with this toy run yet? Can you bring stuff there right now?
Yes.
Oh, you can. Okay. I wasn't sure if it started yet or not. How long does that go through? Till like December 15th or something?
I think so. Something like that.
It's like mid-December. I don't know. It always helps out tons of kids. I mean, every year, John, I mean, you've been in the media for however long here or two, you know, every year this helps out tons of families.
This is a good thing to get involved with.
Now, with this precise printing wraps, and I keep saying printing, we're talking more about wraps.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about this because, like, you know, if you really think about it, you can change your car to whatever you want.
You can.
I mean, you literally can go green, you can go blue, you can go yellow, or you can go a mixture of all, or you can even be a rainbow colored car.
You could.
And the textures, the different textures for wraps are unbelievable. I actually knew an NBA player for the Sacramento Kings whose Bentley has basketball all over it. So when you touch his car, it feels like you're touching a basketball, John. It's that same material. It's the only car I've ever seen like this before, but these are the kind of crazy things you guys can do with wraps.
Oh, yeah. Like the wrap technology to the point where we're at with all the different finishes is crazy. You can pretty much make your car look like whatever you want it to.
That's what Tesla does. I never realized, but every Tesla is painted white. And when it goes to the dealer, they put the wrap of whatever color people want. It's as good as a paint job.
Wait a minute. I
didn't know that.
I did not know that Teslas were wrapped.
Yes.
What?
They're all white when they come out of the factory. What's that?
He said fact check true.
And
that's our producer in Carson.
So you order the color you want and it's a wrap, but it's done so well and perfect that you really can't tell.
I had no clue about that, man. I mean,
yeah, no, that's wild.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here blown away by that right now.
So, let me ask you this, since you're a printer, did you do much of the campaign sign thing?
Since we haven't been printing, no, but I can't imagine the people that did.
Has there been a campaign car?
We actually did do a campaign motorhome for some lobbyists for vaping.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, Jay loves you now.
Well, I don't know. I don't vape. What are you talking about? I don't vape.
All right, Jay.
I don't.
So, so you don't do the campaign signs, which should be taken down now.
Right.
At your print shop.
Yeah, they don't do them, but that's okay. That's all right.
But if you want to wrap your vehicle in campaign stuff, hit us up.
Right, right. Or Christmas.
Yeah, or Christmas, kind of or whatever you're feeling.
Or you could be like Rich, who Rich Crombie was on the show with us one time. He had the whole car wrapped like the Beatles. It appeared as if the Beatles
How
were driving in the car.
How much does
that
cost if you want to do something like that?
It depends on the size of your car, and it depends on the material that you pick.
I want, like, Jay's bald head on the side of my car. How much
you don't want the glare. You don't want that kind of glare.
How much would that cost? I'm just curious.
No. Well, I mean, do you want the whole thing with just a bunch of his
Oh,
heads?
Of course. I want Jay all over my car.
Just commercial prints start at, like, $4,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big expense.
Worth every penny.
Yeah. You know, for my self-branding, improve your car's image. Be
that
seen
is
with
great
neon.
Branding. Well, I tell you, that's something that you see, and it's so different if
yep,
you have the
you
right
go.
Thing pasted on your car.
Actually, right did yeah. Do you, so do you print anything other than wraps on cars? Like, do you like billboards?
We anything? Have done some billboards,
because
yeah.
John's on a billboard right now over there at Moana with some other bald guy, and this is a true story.
I have a thing for
it's
bald
not
guys. It's just a thing.
Yeah, well.
It's okay. Me too. My fiance's bald.
There you go.
Got
go.
It going on, hey. Man.
God, show us some love. I like that. Hey. I always thought this was just had to do with being aerodynamic and the fact that I could get up really like really quick and go. Just like, boom, hair is ready.
Yeah.
Ready to roll.
1 and 9.
Yep. Absolutely. You know how it goes. Anyways. All right. So. Well, thank you so much for coming on this morning with us here, Shelby. And one more time, please give us your information as far as your Instagram, Facebook, and websites for Precise.
Yeah. So right now we're currently working through changing Precise Printing to Precise Wrap. So everything currently says Precise Printing NV. Okay. So that's our Instagram. That's our website. That's our Facebook. It will eventually be changed because we are focusing just on wrap. So that'll happen within the next month or two. And our shop number is 775-499-5161. We're at 1520 Linda Way in Sparks. And for the holiday season, we are running some specials. If you buy a wrap, you get half off of ceramic coat or half off a tint.
Ooh.
So, and you can also buy gift cards. We are doing that as
well. You guys
well.
Do tint?
We do tint as well, yeah.
All right.
Wow, okay. There's a
all the things.
Shop.
If you get a new car, just bring it in. We'll get it done.
I used to work in the tint industry. That's interesting.
And God bless you for taking part in the Reno toy run.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, super cool. All right. Shelby Wynn, thank you very much for joining us with Precise Printing, but soon to be named Precise Wraps. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be back right
election
here.
Update.
Yeah,
yes.
A few more election updates on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now on KKFT.
It's live and it is local right here on 99.1 FM Talk, Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Don't forget, we have a podcast you can check out about an hour after the end of each and every episode at 991fmtalk.com. Just go over there and click the podcast tab as well. Traffic time, as we are going to take a look at traffic brought to you by Ahern Rentals Hardware and Supply. The Carson Valley's favorite hardware store is your source for barbecues and barbecue tackle. Get ready, gear up for fall with yard necessities and rugged Carhartt clothing. Ahern Rentals Hardware and Supply. Now, as I take a look at the traffic here in Northern Nevada, we have nothing to report that's going to slow you down. Highways or surface streets out there other than just normal areas. Especially, I always tell this, John, throughout the week, if you're downtown Reno, you're around Virginia Street, you're trying to go to 395 north or south, forget it. You're sitting in traffic at some point. But other than that, we're good. All right.
For a Saturday, nice.
Yeah.
Election update. There have been some changes here, folks. After 3 days of having the advantage, the Secretary of State's office reporting that Adam Laxalt's lead in the Senate race has narrowed now to less than 800 votes. 95% of the vote has been counted, and Catherine Cortez Masto has 48.4% of the vote. Laxalt, 48.5% of the vote. That's
a
0.1% difference. Masto leads in Clark and Washoe County. Laxalt is one in every other Nevada county.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now here online on the Fox News website, and it's just insane how close that is. I mean, I got to tell you, folks, if there's ever an election that you see like this, I mean, this is why you got to get out and vote. I mean, just a couple people can literally make a difference.
Some of these races are 40 vote differences. I was looking through some of the Washoe County races, that thin. The governor's race is also tighter, even though Sisolak conceded yesterday. Joe Lombardo's four-point lead is now down to 2%. And the Secretary of State's race has flipped. After days of being ahead, Jim Marchant trails Cisco Aguilar by close to 1.5%. Aguilar even declared victory yesterday. Michelle Fiore also lost her lead to Zach Conine in the treasurer's race by just over 1%. Those watching the live online cameras pointed at vote counters in the Washoe County Government Building saw the screen go black for 8 hours Wednesday night. They didn't come back on until Thursday morning. The cameras cover the vote counting areas of the complex on East 9th. A camera also went dark on election night, requiring staff to turn it back on. A county spokesperson says these cameras are known to intermittently lose connection. They knew this.
And this has nothing to do with Dominion's Pizza dropping off orders after midnight.
Might be worth fixing stuff like that. There are still over 70,000 ballots waiting to be counted. Most of them most of the ballots yet to be counted come from Las Vegas and Reno. That may turn against Republicans in close races, and votes are still coming in. Today is the last day that election officials will accept ballots. Voters also have until the end of the day Monday to fix problems with their mail ballots, which have not been counted yet. 9,600 ballots have clerical problems like signature discrepancies to fix from Clark County alone. In the meantime, congratulations to our past show guests like P.K. O'Neill, Colleen Westlake, Ira Hansen, Ed Lawson. All their races were not close. They've all won their Washoe County races. We got to know them. They're good people.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. It was good to be a help them out there. Carson City voters approved extending the diesel 5 cent a gallon tax.
Yeah. I don't drive a diesel truck, so it doesn't really bother me.
Don't care.
You have one, don't you?
I do. That's why it's in the news.
That's okay.
That's why I bring that up.
I save that 5 cents by just having like a Maverick card. So I don't know.
Anyways. Well, for folks unhappy about the voting situation, just a reminder, this was all changed by Governor Sisolak. The mail-in ballots were put in place because of the pandemic, which happens to be over. So 4 days since Election Day, we still don't know for sure who won the Senate race in Nevada. It's weird. I mean, Nevada knows how to count cards and money of all states.
Right.
Florida held an election.
Oh, you know what? Hey, maybe that's what they should have done. All the people counting ballots should be casino cashiers and workers.
But years of reforming our state elections, this is the logjam right there. And unfortunately, it's so slow, it generates a bit of distrust, more so in the process. Now we're going through the worrisome wait here, at like what a plumber's estimate is going to be, you know?
Right, exactly.
Same feeling. And I miss your texts, Catherine Cortez Basto. I thought that what we had was special. A text every other day, and now nothing.
They were costly to her campaign.
So,
yeah, well, all right.
That's the latest.
Yeah, that's the latest on that. I don't know. I'm losing hope on some places. It's not the red wave I was expecting. I think a lot of people. But then again, it's like, you know, gosh, I hate to say the integrity of the elections.
We were so psyched, weren't we?
I don't want to upset CNN and talk about voter integrity and the election integrity, but sheesh.
Republicans were so fired up. And, surely our day would come, you know, but the red wave, the neighbors just didn't buy what we were selling. The midterm pushback against an unpopular president turned out to be minimal. And there are still some noses to count, but this is no shellacking, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how close everything is. Like I said, the one thing that really just got me just what's going on here, folks, is Pennsylvania. The Fetterman thing. I'm sorry, but wow. I mean, that guy, I mean, really, I mean, I feel for him. The dude's had a stroke, obviously,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that's horrible. But they're just like parading him around, you know, like, I don't know. I just don't feel good about it.
Well,
I guess it's anybody, you know, it's the anybody but Trump crew. Again, it's and the anybody also, that anybody that can help any Trumpers.
And out. Also the Democrats' smart political organization there, you know, to get this all together.
Right.
On happier news, Tahoe skiing open for the new season. We just this morning opened up at Heavenly, North Star, Kirkwood. The three joined Boreal Mountain and Mount Rose Ski Resort, which opened yesterday. All five are open right now. Palisades, or as Jay calls it, Squaw Valley, begins their season next Friday.
That's right. Okay. Hey, let's go ahead and just talk about what we got, because we got a couple more minutes. Next week, we've got some interesting stuff coming up. So our good friends, John, from King of the Cage, are going to be back with us.
Okay.
So they're going to be here at the 11:30 slot.
I hope they don't threaten me again.
Well, they won't. I'm going to hold them back. But bring your flak jacket. You really should next week, just in case, because you never know what kind of flak you're going to catch from those guys, or what kind of fighters they're going to bring in here. Maybe like that 100-pound girl that was here last time that looked like she could just tear you up.
I also have a guest lined up for next Saturday, and I forgot who it was, but it should be a fun show for sure.
I know we're going to have Rachel Abair is going to be in with us as well, and so it's going to be fun. It's going to be Gear Hut is also going to be on with us. Lee and Rusty, the owners of Gear Hut, so that'd be kind of cool to have them back on. They're on the Ski Report, so yeah.
Are you a skier by chance?
I'm not. I'm too. It scares me to think about going down a mountain with two things that could go different ways.
Some of us don't like the cold and we don't like heights. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, when I go there is in summer, the ski resorts got smart and they started to keep the gondolas working.
I love that.
And doing the hiking and the biking downhill, not uphill.
Have you ever been to the Heavenly Gondola?
Yes,
to the Heavenly Coaster? Favorite. Have you ever been on the coaster?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
They have a nice restaurant. The gondolas will take you up there, and then they have the open ski lifts that even higher.
That's right. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, it has been an interesting, good show. Almost said it right. And we're going to be right back here next week on Saturday, like we are each and every week, 9 to noon on Live and Local with John and Jay.